Good morning. And before we get to this interview, which was recorded around 2 weeks ago, I'd like to acknowledge more immediate societal changes that are happening. I'm personally encouraged by the peaceful protests going on all over the U.S. and the world, and I also understand why those protests, though rarely, have veered away from peaceful. There's legitimate anger and exhaustion and fear from racism and police brutality and overt hatred and silent hatred. In case you're having trouble grasping why the Black Lives Matter movement is important, please reach out to a friend or family member who's been posting or talking about it. Google Black Lives Matter Explained. When activists are saying these marches are different, it's widespread and growing, and it's so moving and so important. We'll definitely have a lengthier discussion and ongoing discussions about this. But donate if you can to bail funds in your home state or in New York City or D.C. We all need to be involved in this. And it's not just the police force that needs to be demilitarized and restructured and reimagined. I need to change. We need to. America needs to be better. All of the above. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. Wake up. It's time for Stoner Morning Show. Sit back, relax. Smoke them if you got them. And now, Stoner Morning Show.
All right, so welcome to another episode of Stoner Morning Show. I'm Sean Wickens, and my guest today is Christopher Wells, filmmaker.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about some of his stoner-appropriate films. And how's it going, Christopher?
It's going really good.
Great, great. We talked a little bit about New York City before we started rolling, since
sure.
I usually live there. Have you been holding up the last 2 months?
I've been lucky because I live near Prospect Park, so I'm able to go there and kind of run around like an idiot.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have access or short access to parks. And, you know, when you think of New York City, you think of the transit system and how easy it is to get everywhere if you take, you know, the subway or whatever.
Right.
But a lot of people don't want to do that. And so a lot of people are just staying home, and they don't have a place just to, you know, like a park to go to. So for me, it's, you know, I feel thankful that I have that. But, you know, like everyone, it sucks. I mean, you know, staying inside most of the day, it's just, you know, it's not fun, obviously.
And, right.
You know, there's a lot of deaths that are happening in Brooklyn, too, which is very scary. So,
yeah
it's just serious shit.
Yeah, it is pretty serious and alarming. And it's also, you know, New York was always sold as being completely accessible. And now that people are isolated, it is sort of making people feel a little cut off. I did read some encouraging thing that frames it, you know, because I heard friends say, like, geez, maybe New York was never the way to live before. But I read South Korea as a whole is a very dense country, and, you know, they're doing all right. So.
Yeah, I also think that Cuomo is doing a good job as a leader. I mean, you know, when shit hits the fan, like we're going through, it's nice to have a governor that at least appears that he knows what he's talking about.
Sure.
Because when I watch Trump and he's telling me to drink bleach or, you know, whatever the hell else he's trying to tell me to do,
right,
or not wear a mask or whatever, it's nice to say, well, at least I have my governor who is, I think, acting a lot more like of a leader than Trump and a lot of other governors, like in Atlanta and Florida and some other places that, you know, thank God.
At least we get that. Yeah, he's definitely stepped up. And you know, as I share with you, I'm currently living in Mississippi, but I've tuned in to watch his press conferences just to feel a part of it, I suppose.
Yeah, a lot of people from New York have done that. Like,
yeah.
I have a lot of friends and family that pay more attention to what Cuomo was saying than their own governor,
right?
Which is really weird.
Let's talk about quarantine sunscreen a little bit. A short film that you made while you've been quarantined. how soon did you start thinking about keeping yourself busy by making a short film by yourself in your apartment?
Well, what I was kind of going through, I was doing a web series called Good Question, where we take regular people and we ask them thought-provoking questions. So I was in post-production with that. I was in the pre stages of season two for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of looking at locations again. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, you know, crew and all that kind of stuff. And then that thing happened in New Rochelle, and I'm like, okay, this thing doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and if anything, it's getting worse. But there was a lot of other states that weren't locking down. Like, I have a brother that lives in Atlanta, and they were basically, I think they locked down maybe 2 to 3 weeks after we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this time of maybe like 2 to 3 weeks, I was just getting adjusted of like, wait, what does this mean? Like, what can I do? And that restaurant's closed and my gym's closed. And, you know, there was a lot of like, holy shit, what is this that I'm going through? And then, so of course I was getting depressed because I make a living doing photography and videos for different businesses. So I didn't know what that meant. And then you start to accept it. Like, okay, we're going through a process. And of course, all the conspiracy theories get thrown at you. Like, this is a third world order. You know, Bill Gates is trying to take over everyone by sticking a needle up our ass by whatever the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you got all that. So of course, with my, you know, I just have anxiety like everyone. So I just said, all right, I can either jump out the window or I can make a ridiculous short film that's going to make me laugh, but I also want a political commentary. And so I guess just sort of smoked a lot of weed and just, you know, wrote this ridiculous film.
No shame there.
Yeah, yeah. So my probably took me about like a month to do from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I started it maybe like, I don't know, 4 weeks into the pandemic, I guess. But it definitely saved me. Like, I think that at least we have our creativity and at least you can write something. And that's what I was kind of telling myself. I'm like, all right, at least I can escape and I can go into this script that I really like, that I find enjoyable. And if I can make someone laugh, great. But it was really therapy for me, to tell you the truth. And then the beauty of the film is that I purposely made some of the characters, you know, toys. So if I wanted to change up their dialogue, I could.
And they,
so,
and they hit their marks, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so I just basically kind of had fun doing the process, because as you get older and you're making films, then you need a crew, you need everyone. And of course they bring it to another level, but it was was reminiscent of like my college days when I just would take a camera and I would just make a short film by myself. And so it was kind of fun to do this because I didn't have any help. It was just me. So that was kind of fun to kind of go through that process and pay attention to every little detail, because I don't consider myself a videographer by any means. I mean, I am a photographer, but they're two dope, you know, different mediums. But, you know, if I was going to do a short film and we didn't have the pandemic, of course I'd have a crew. Sometimes it's nice to kind of do things, you know, just get down to basics. It's just kind of, it's fun, I guess. And it's, you relearn things that you haven't used in a while. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I think one of the silver linings that we can grab onto during this is that, people are sort of falling back onto, or, you know, just finding good, healthy ways to sort of, I don't know, like self-medicate or escape, mm-hmm. as you say. I have a friend who lives in New York. I just checked in with a few days ago. He told me he's lost 60 pounds during this, because he's like, well, I'll exercise and mm-hmm. I'll adjust my eating habits. So it's kind of, I don't know, incredible, the small stories of like the things people are doing to keep themselves sane. You also said that you smoked up a little bit while writing this. Is that part of your normal process? I'm curious, or is it?
Yeah, it is, because what it does, what weed does, and why I think it's, I'm so surprised it's not legal in every state. But yeah, I mean, it closes out, it shuts down the noise, so you can focus. So, you know, like everybody, there's a lot going on, and especially in New York, there's always a lot going on, or at least it feels like it. There's an energy that New York has that it's just, I don't see anywhere else, but
yeah,
and
I miss it.
So, yeah.
Even though it's a different vibe than I'm used to, but, I still miss it.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to get away every once in a while, but I'm always drawn to that energy that I just can't get away from. But you know, there's just a lot of noise. There's a lot of things that, you know, you worry about or that you're thinking about, or even as a creative person, you're never really writing just one script. You always have ideas for other scripts. that seem great that you have to kind of shut down and focus on the task at hand. So what weed does to me is that it helps me focus. And it's sort of like when you're writing a lot of, for at least me, before I go to bed or right when I wake up, when I'm in that like kind of half sleep state, I can allow my creativity to develop things that maybe I'm having a problem with, right? If I have writer's block, I could kind of, I'm more free to float around in that space and find these beautiful little nuggets that'll help me. So I'm constantly like, you know, waking up and writing, then going back to sleep, then waking up. What weed does, it kind of brings me there, you know, and just to allow myself to kind of float in this sea of, I don't know, ideas.
Yeah. That, yeah.
You know,
it's always interesting when I speak to non-smokers and, you know, you share with them that like sometimes you will have a little bit right when you wake up in the morning. It's so weird that they don't understand how that could be useful, you know, to start out your day like that in that chill of space.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think people that don't smoke, they should. And I mean, obviously I don't want to force anyone to do anything.
Sure, right? Sure.
I never would, but yeah, I mean, I think if our world leaders sat around and smoked some weed and we can get, you know, I think greed would come. I think the humanity would show more and the greed would show less, because I think a lot of people need to just chill the fuck out and just kind of understand that we're all in this together. And, you know, when you smoke weed, you don't want to start trouble.
No, like it's very true. Yeah. I often think about myself drunk and myself stoned, and it's, you know, night and day in a way. What a beautiful thought, just thinking about world leaders getting high together. That would be, we'd all get elevated. The whole world would, I believe. You also have a feature-length film probably coming to Amazon Prime in the next few weeks. The Luring. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So that's very different from Quarantine Sunscreen, obviously.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's a psychological thriller.
And a feature, that's no, you know, easy accomplishment.
It's
a lot of takes to sift through.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of angles to cut together. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, especially if you want to make it interesting. The takes, not so much, because that costs more money. I mean, obviously the angles do too, because you have to set up the lighting. But our shooting ratio was actually, I'd say we probably would do no more than four takes. A lot of times it was just two takes.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, because we shot for 22 days. We would take off every 5 to 6 days for 2 days, but we had 22 shooting days, and we had 15 days of rain straight.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was nuts.
Could be a good mood for a thriller. Hopefully that's what you were looking for.
Well, we wanted the grayness, but we didn't want the rain. You know, obviously heavy rain could cause sound problems, even if you're shooting inside. But
yeah,
somehow we worked out. But yeah, we were able to raise the money.
Speaking of rain real quick, we will get back to it. I just have like a quick tangent. But
sure.
A few days ago, you know, because I'm quarantined with my girlfriend's family, somebody put on Back to the Future, which in the first mall scene, you know, when the DeLorean time machine is revealed, my girlfriend's brother, who's down here too, he works in the film industry, and he said, you know, looking at that scene, he was like, look at that. That whole parking lot was watered down. It was like kind of a funny detail that a filmmaker would notice. But it, sure enough, like the whole parking lot in that mall was watered down for the visual effect. It was like such a silly, stupid detail to notice. Let's get back to The Luring. What's the story?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't dampen any roads. We didn't necessarily have really any driving shots, or there were a couple. I don't even know if they made the film or not. It was actually when we first did the first cut, it was about 2 hours, which is totally way too long. We cut it down. Now I think
filmmaking is like carpentry, though. If you have too much, you can always cut a little here and there.
Which it's a great problem to have.
Sure,
it is an amazing, because when you're working on a low budget film like ours, you. Everything is so expensive to you because your budget, there's no wiggle room at all. And you know, we had, I don't know how many investors we had, but we, you know, quite a bit, because it's easier to raise money. I mean, if I had a zillionaire that wanted to give me all the money for the budget, that's great. But you know, that's not what happened. We had to go through, like, you know, a lot of different people. But you know, in any event, you're, you know, shooting and thank God we,
and it's
we
more
were able-
and it's more fun to have more investors. It's a, you know, it's a party.
Yeah, well, it can
more
be.
Headaches too, but yeah.
Yeah, our investors, they really were kind of quiet during the whole process. They looked at what we've done or what, you know, what I've done in the past. They liked, we raised the money by shooting the first scene of the movie, and we presented that to investors. I mean, it's been a long time. I've been waiting so much for this to play. So other people can see it. I mean, obviously we went to some festivals and we won an award and, you know, a lot of good things happened that way. But, you know, I obviously being on Amazon Prime and, you know, they're going to be selling a DVD of it. That's a whole other level. That's, you know, you feel like you accomplished something. Because I've done films before where they've been in festivals, short films, and it's a great feeling and it's a great accomplishment. But having something that you could say, hey, you can watch it in your house. That's, you know, I've never felt that before. So that's kind of cool.
Congrats. If you're just joining us, hey, go back to the beginning and start over. But we're hanging out with Christopher Wells, a New York City-based filmmaker. We were talking about Quarantine Sunscreen, which is a short film that he shot by himself with some toy friends. What's your YouTube channel so people can check that out?
Well, if they just go to kpictures.com,
there
you
go.
The letter K, mm-hmm. they can find me there. And I think my YouTube channel is kpictures.
Got it. And The Luring is going to be hitting Amazon Prime sometime in June. As a filmmaker, New York City based, currently quarantined, do you have any thoughts on projections as to what is going to happen in the next week, month, year?
In film or New York?
Either or all the above.
Oh.
or with you or with weed.
Well, with weed, I hope that Cuomo was talking. I saw this article that he wanted to legalize it in New York. So I hope that happens quick.
I did see that. Believe it or not, I had like 8 or 9 people sent me that link.
Yeah. So, you know, let's see. I mean, I don't think that they really spoke about specifics, which always, doesn't sit well with me, because they've said this for how many years?
It's
that they
true,
want to legalize
yeah.
it. And so they always like tease us. But then there's, okay, well, just fucking vote. Like, just why do we have to wait? Like, what's the wait? Like, why can't we just take care of shit?
It's yeah, I'm getting tired of getting amped up about legalization.
Yeah.
I just want to be relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and this last election, they all promised it, and I'm still not clear why it didn't pass. Some sort of bullshit article came up that people that I've never even heard of have a say in it, or that's what it seemed like. I'm like, well, wait a minute. But all the people that were saying that they're going to legalize it got elected. So why now all of a sudden?
Yeah, what's the roadblock?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, of course, even though I'm very much into politics, there's a lot I don't know.
Oof, and it's too much to keep track of. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not quite sure how that, it's not like I can call up the governor and be like, hey, you know, what's going on? I wish I could, but yeah, I don't know.
Get a burner phone and do that.
Send a dick pic.
Yeah, there you go. That'll get their attention. You know?
I just don't understand that. So I hope that weed gets legalized, because that just, you know, obviously we're kind of having fun with it, but there's a lot of people in prison for that. And that's something that I really,
it's a huge injustice that needs to really be, we'll never be able to correct all of the wrongs. You know what
no.
I mean? It's we could be better moving forward and hopefully fix what we can.
Yeah, and so that would be a big deal. So, you know, I hope that happens. For me personally, my number one thing is I want to stay healthy mentally and physically. My family and friends, and I, you know, obviously I'm a concerned American, so I want everyone to stay safe and be creative, and hopefully those stimulus checks will come to us and not continuously going to Wall Street, which that's happening.
Fingers crossed for good news in the next week or two. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
But I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a very weird time, but hopefully soon we'll obviously we'll get through it, but we're going to be bumped and bruised.
Yeah.
And, sucks.
Well, it's we don't ask for, examples of New York City resilience, but we're constantly – those circumstances are constantly thrust upon us, so to speak.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your web series, because I do
sure.
– I don't know, the power of popular culture and art is that spreading of ideas and people coming together and – exchanging of thoughts and emotions. I do like the idea of posing difficult questions or thought-provoking questions on people. What were some of the topics you were covering in the web series? What is it called again?
It's called Good Question.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants to see anything that I've done, because I do a wide range of stuff from, stoner short films to psychological thrillers to, what this is, which is I wouldn't say it's a political show, but one of the questions was
It's a human show. It sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we basically take individuals. We put them in a nice studio. We shot this one in Williamsburg, and we asked them questions that are I think that are thought provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gay, straight, black, white, young, old. We had everyone that they didn't see the questions beforehand. I mean, of course, we said, look, we're not going to make anyone look stupid.
Sure.
You can do that on your own if you choose to. Well, but
very
we're not.
True.
This isn't like a got you type of thing, and they were human questions. I mean, do you think that humans are creating climate change or helping to create climate change?
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing what these people were saying, that's not a political thing. But one of the questions was, who do you think Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela and Gandhi would be most proud of in our current government? And most of the people were, because no one's going to say Trump. No one's going to say, oh yeah, Martin Luther King would be most proud of Trump.
Right,
no,
right.
That wouldn't happen. And even a Trump supporter wouldn't say that. So
yeah.
I was interested to hear what these people said. And a lot of people were talking about Bernie Sanders. And even if people don't like Bernie Sanders, it's try to get the politics out of it and just look at it from a different perspective. Because honestly, if Bernie Sanders, who got arrested in college for human rights and has fought for human rights his whole career, that's not a political statement. That's just the facts. And so, these leaders would be proud of him more so than, let's say, Trump, who, whether you like him or not, he's not bringing us together.
No, no.
So,
he's dividing and conquering, which is, unfortunately, that is his plan. He's been effective at that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Speaking of climate change, real quick, I recently saw on, I don't know if you saw on Hulu, there's a documentary about the biosphere. I think it's called Spaceship Earth or something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't seen it.
It was pretty fascinating. I have vague memories of that biosphere when it was new, like sometime in the mid-90s or something.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that was like a government program or a NASA thing, but it was just people who lived together, and they were like, this will be interesting. They raised money, and a Texas oil billionaire helped fund it. And he's on, they have like file footage of this guy talking about data. This is in the 90s, kind of confirming that humans are a part of climate change. It was like,
yeah. I mean, look at Australia. That was all
oh, yeah.
Corporations.
Those brush fires and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they killed over a billion with a billion animals.
Yeah.
I mean, so I was debating some guy online. I got suckered into it because
that's escape too, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. But this guy was trying to make it political. He's like, oh, you're just a liberal, whatever. And all the people on your show are liberals. I said, we had a wide variety of people. He goes, well, but you didn't have one Trump supporter. Like, how do you know what they were? And, if they're talking about the climate, that has nothing to do with just because people believe that human beings are contributing to climate change doesn't make them a liberal or a leftist or that these are facts. Look at what factory farming's doing. Look at what's factory fishing. I mean, it's fracking. I mean, they still don't have clean water in Flint, Michigan. That's man-made.
Startling.
Yeah. And so I kind of, the whole point of the show was to look at things, look at it without a political eye. And
well, it's good. It's good to challenge people and not, as you said, put them on the spot, but it's,
no,
there's so many things that we believe and think, and we just, they stay thoughts and we don't express them, you know. And
I think it's also very important for right now, our leaders are not living up to certain expectations that they should. And if you ask people in America, well, who do you think Martin Luther King would be most proud of? We should be rattling names. This shouldn't be something where like, oh, I have to think about it.
Yeah. Why is that a tough question? Yeah.
Exactly. Why is that a tough question? That's the kind of questions we're asking in this show. These are questions that even right now, the media is not asking Trump, why did you give over $4.5 trillion to Wall Street when the pandemic happened? Why was that your first thing that you thought to do? Why not? Why didn't you think, let's make sure that everyone has universal health care, and let's make sure that that if they ever want to get tested for anything, it's free. I mean, let's get everyone free health care. Why wasn't your whole big thing, if you want to clean up the swamp, take care of the people? Why were you thinking Wall Street? And I get into debates with Trump supporters all the time about this, they say, well, I don't want to pay for anyone's health care. I'm like, but you're paying for someone, you're paying for Wall Street.
Right, yeah.
So this idea of this, of you're going to help some person who's just getting fat off of the government's tit, you don't want to feed that, but you're okay with some fat, rich fuckbag who is Wall Street, you don't mind giving money to them. It's so you're fighting the fight for who? You're fighting it for the rich. These are questions that I ask myself. So I came up with the show. The pandemic hit, but I have my hands full with that. I also have my hands full with working with my publicist for the Loring, and then I did quarantine sunscreen to keep my sanity, and that was sort of, I did that because I wanted to have a reason to have anyone to talk to me, because, you know, marketing is everything, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean it's and quarantine sunscreen is such a ridiculous short film, but there's also a point to it. It's also, there's a social commentary about it, and the lines, some of the lines that I took from people writing on Trump's Facebook wall, mm-hmm. I put them directly into quarantine sunscreen. So I had people literally say that they think that Trump is helping the middle class. And I got into debates with people that are okay with the trillions that they're giving Wall Street, but then in the same sentence, they'll tell me, and we can't afford universal health care. So some of those lines in the film were directly from what people are saying online. That's what was driving me crazy. I was going on Facebook. I'm like, this isn't helping me, because I'm seeing really ignorant people say stuff that just isn't right, and they're racing to the bottom. They're going to hurt themselves because they're not getting a stimulus. Why are they defending Wall Street when they didn't even get a stimulus check? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's so weird the things that people will defend. And the best guess I could come to justify it is that people wish they were rich. So it's like, I got to help the rich, so for when I get there someday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it works. They already have enough rich people. They don't want you.
Yeah. I've gotten to debates with people say, you can't put a ceiling on what people make. I've had poor people yell at me saying, how can you want that? I'm like, you're not anywhere close to that. What are you fucking worrying about?
Right.
What, one day you're going to be pissed off because they had a ceiling on your $20 million or something?
Yeah,
are you fucking kidding me?
But like, we got trillionaires running around these days.
I mean, what are you going to do with that money? I mean, the fact is, if you